My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Murphy is the marketing director of Farmland LP. They are the largest investment fund in the United States focused on organic regenerative farming. Welcome to the show, Ian.
Thank you, George. Happy to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal lives, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
My personal life, I am a father of two beautiful daughters, 3 and 5. My wife, Erin, and I live in Ojai, California with them, a small town just north of Ventura, California, in Southern California. And I have a wonderful job. I am the marketing director for the largest investment fund in the United States that buys traditional farmland, and through a 3-year conversion process, transforms it into USDA organic farmland using regenerative farming practices, which means it's better for the planet, better for people. And the cool thing is it's actually better for profits. So it's a really fun job. And my background, I actually have no background in farming whatsoever. And I have actually no educational background in marketing and communications. So I grew up as the son of a single mother who owned a PR firm. And so I spent probably 14 years on as an intern there, a free intern to her, and then just grew up within it. I actually come from the aerospace industry, aerospace and science, and then I've been in farming now for about a year and a half.
Excellent. What is the opposite of regenerative farming?
Traditional farming. So conventional farming is also what it's called. A really good way to understand it is, let's put it in context, 53% of all farms in this country, in the United States, grow corn and soy.
Wow.
And of that, we eat 0.66% of the corn that we grow. So
how
you
much?
Can think of that 0.66%, less than 1%. Of the corn that we grow in this country. And so essentially, a lot of our traditional agriculture grows crops for fuel and for feedlot. And that's not great feedlot. So we focus on food that you can grow to eat. And the biggest difference between traditional and regenerative farming is the way that it treats the soil. So traditional farming is where you're going to see plows and tills, and they're going to plant the same crop on the same soil every single year. It's called monocropping. And what we do is we use crop rotation, cover cropping, pasturing. Pasturing is when you put animals on there, cover crops when you plant something that you're not going to eat, right? And crop rotation is where you move the crops around from field to field, depending on the water levels, the salinity, the quality of the soil. Now, when you farm in that way, you increase soil biodiversity, meaning you have more spiders and more bugs and more mycelium, which is mushroom, right? The fungi that connects all of the different plants to one another under the ground. And this creates healthier soil, better fruit, better food, and it sequesters more carbon. So instead of being carbon emitting, meaning you're plowing and tilling and running the same thing, we can actually sequester carbon in the soil and protect the planet. So that's the biggest difference between the two. I'm not disparaging conventional or traditional. You know, people have to eat, and we've got a large farming sector in the United States. But regenerative farming practices certainly are more ideal if we're looking for a more environmentally sustainable way of farming. The challenge with it in the past has been doing it at scale, doing it large enough. You know, only 2% of farms are organic farms in this country. So doing it large enough where we can service a growing population and especially growing demand. Demand for organic food is growing as much as 13% in recent years. So we see ourselves in a great position to not only treat the planet better, but also be in this wonderful growth market, pardon the pun.
No, I love a good pun, and I appreciate everything that you've been talking about and saying. I anecdotally understand, if that makes any sense, that we're essentially destroying our soil and our topsoil by just growing the same thing over and over and over and over again. I can't blame anybody for doing it. That's where the incentives were. That's what we needed, apparently. And so that's what we did. How can it be that doing regenerative versus monocrop is more profitable?
Because the rents on the land. So when you're selling organic food, you're going to be able to sell that food for more. So think of organic blueberries versus traditional blueberries. You see a traditional blueberry, $3, maybe $3.50 in the grocery store. You're going to see those organic berries, that same package, $5, $5.50. So when you do that, you're also looking at the difference in rent. So we farm, we're very unusual, or I'd say unique investment firm. Why? Because we actually farm a third of our land. We have a 55-person farm team, and you're not going to see that in other investment funds. Most investment funds are just buying up the land and then renting it out. Now, we do have two-thirds of our land that we rent out to very experienced organic farmers who farm in this way. So there is a lot of farmers who are already doing this. They do a great job at it, and they need the land. Now, why don't they do it on their own? If you're a family farmer, and you are, let's say you make $250,000 a year, which is about the average that a farmer is going to make. Great life for yourself, right? You need 3 years to take your land from conventional to tradition, or from traditional to regenerative farms, right? To organic farms. The USDA, it's a very expensive process, and it takes a long time. It takes 3 years. You would not be able to grow food on that land in those 3 years because you are transferring the land. That would crush a local farmer, right? Sure. And if you're a large ag company who makes a ton of money on corn and selling feedlot and ethanol, and financial incentives aren't there either. Because in order to do this, we do 40 crops. That's a large rotation. That's a lot of different things and a lot of different things at market. And so that's why you kind of see only 2% of these farms are organic, because it costs money, it takes time, and it's difficult to do. When you do it, you are going to be more profitable because the value of farmland is the value of the crop on the farmland. We also find that the value of that farmland is two other things that typically aren't thought about. One, the quality of the soil. The better the soil, the better you're going to be able to do farming there, the better yield you're going to get, the better crops values you're going to get. And also the one thing people forget is the water. So my boss sometimes jokes, we buy the land and we get the water for free, and people don't realize how valuable that water is. So on most of our farms, we actually have water rights that are senior to the state of California or to the states that which we operate, which means that we draw water before the state does. We have very, very old water rights. That is really important when you're trying to, when especially in a state like California, where water can sometimes be throttled based on drought, and you wouldn't want that to affect your farming operations. So we think of ourselves as very climate and weather forward in order to do that. And that results in roughly triple the rents. So $300 is the rent on a traditional farm. You're going to get $800, you know, roughly $800, $850 on those rents after you've converted it to high quality organic farmland.
That is really interesting. So it takes 3 years to switch over from traditional conventional farming to regenerative farming. Is that a government rule? Is that just what it takes to for lack of a better term, fix the soil?
Yeah, it's a great thing to say. People don't realize this a lot when you think about your government. Right? You think about government agencies, you think about government waste, you think about, you know, government red tape. There are agencies within the government that do some incredibly important things in our lives that we just don't really give them credit for. The USDA is one of those organizations that works very hard to create a system of ideals, a system of protocols in order to make sure that you are USDA organic. And why? So that when you see that badge on your food, you can believe in it. Mm. Now, why do you need to believe in that badge? Why is that so important? So 80% of people in the US have glyphosate Roundup in their urine, right? Why do 80% of people have that in their blood if only 2% of people work in agriculture? Because they're getting it through their food. When you're getting poison and pesticides, and you can see a recent Guardian article was great about this. You can look up apple peels in the Guardian. But they now say you even have to peel your apples, because even if you peel them, you're still going to get a layer underneath where you're going to end up getting a little bit of poison or pesticide with it. And that's not a good thing. We want to make sure that people are eating clean food, and we're not really sure what that Roundup is doing to people. And so
I'm pretty sure what it's doing.
What's that?
I said, I'm pretty sure I know what it's doing.
Yeah, you can definitely make that leap. When you eat non-organic food, when you serve it to your children and you serve it to yourself, you just have to know that you are ingesting pesticides with that. Why? Because pesticides, herbicides, and fertilizer have to be used in order to maximize those yields. Now, we use compost. We use no pesticides, no herbicides. So those types of things where you're using all organically approved, USDA approved, and the government really needs to be the check for us, because it's government is what we all choose to do together. And I think that all of us have chosen, hey, we want to eat clean food that's good for us. And the USDA protects that label. All of our farms, they are approved by the USDA after that 3-year process. They're very much involved throughout that process. There's testing that goes from the soil to the plant life, to the soil biodiversity that they're testing all the way through. And when they have reached that critical threshold, and they have to prove that for a 3-year period. So.
Excellent. That makes a ton of sense. It is pretty scary about the whole glyphosate thing. So it's obviously a conversation for another day. You are, Farmland LP is the largest investment fund that is focused on this.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Now, most investors want return on investment, and you have a 3-year down period where you put the money in when you're purchasing a new farm where you're not going to get anything out of it. I'm sure that it costs a lot of money to convert that as well. So not only do you not have money coming in, but you're also putting money into it, which is what investment is. So, I mean, thanks for doing that. And just tell me a little bit more about that. Tell me about your ethos, about your desire to do good, but also make money, and balancing that.
Sure. So let's take just a random 6-year period, right? Your farm makes X over that 6-year period. So after 6 years, you have 6X, right? Now let's say your farm, let's take that same 6-year period. And in that first year, you don't farm, right? And in the 3 years, you make zero. So no X, 0X, 0X, 0X. Now, at the end of that 3 years, you're making 3X, right? Because you're now able to plant. You're now able to triple those rents. Now, let's say even if it's 2X, right? Well, 3X times 3X times 3X, or 3X plus 3X plus 3X in those final 3 years is 9X. So you had 6, and now you have 9. Extrapolate that another 10 years, and you can see how that J curve works. So the barrier of entry here is you need money to make money. This is not something that if you don't have hundreds of millions of dollars to invest, it's going to be rather difficult for you to do this. Mm-hmm. If you do, and you know how to play the long game, as our founder, Craig Wischner, determined in 2009 when he created Farmland LP, that if we are to do this, and we have those numbers coming off the back end of the model, which we've now seen through Fund One, that this is going to be a very promising exercise. I think the second thing people need to know is that two things with farmland. One, farmland outperforms other assets class. If you go back to 1990, you looked at the S&P, you looked at bonds, you look at real estate, it's going to outperform that. And you can go to our LinkedIn and see those charts. We've got that all up there. So when you're outperforming those other asset classes, you're getting better value on the land, right? And so the real estate values are going up. I think that other people look at stability within an investment. And if you look at farmland as just real estate, like it is, so commercial real estate's another form, multifamily housing. If you take all three of those markets, they're all about the same size, about $3.8 trillion. And if you look at the $3.8 trillion farming market versus commercial real estate or multifamily housing, you look at the debt that's on that sector, you know, 80% debt in commercial real estate. So if something goes wrong, that's a leveraged position. Multifamily, you're looking at 50% debt, 40 to 50% debt, and on farmland at 13% debt. So I think that when you think about the process in which you're going to make money off the land, and then you're going to look at land appreciation, you're going to see positive results there. Finally, it's supply and demand. 4 acres of farmland disappears every minute. So I don't know how long we've been on the phone here, 20 minutes or so, 80 acres gone. And the demand, the population is going up.
Where is it going? Demand,
it's disappearing to urban development. It's disappearing to just people getting out of the farming business and land being transferred over for other reasons. Sometimes private equity groups are buying up that farmland to expand cities. It's the natural progression of civilization. And that's been happening for 22 years consistently. It's been going at that rate of 4 acres a minute, according to the USDA farm and land and farms reports that come out every single year. So that's a, if your supply is going down by 4 acres a minute and the demand for food is going up and your the value of your investment is based on the value of food and its demand, then you're going to have a positive return at the end, which is why if you see the curves, you'll see farmland outperforms. It's just been traditionally a very difficult asset to invest in. There's not ETFs everywhere. The ETFs that are out there, you do have to see what's in there. What are the holdings within that ETF? Sometimes that's not the most transparent thing. So you just want to be really careful. Who am I investing with? What type of farmland am I investing in? And is it in Iowa, Texas, California, Washington, Oregon? And if so, what's the trend for those farmland and that farmland in that place? You know, we know that the climate's changing. We know that the growing regions are changing. The corn growing region specifically is moving about 25 miles north every year. Doesn't sound like a lot, but that's 250 miles over 10 years. Now that means in Texas, they're growing a lot less corn, and in Canada, they're growing a lot more corn. So you can see how things change. So I think as you're making investment decisions, as you're looking for the value of something, you have to look at it from a lot of different factors.
Yeah, well, that certainly makes sense. The 53% of all farms growing corn and soy, do you see that remaining steady or is that going to be decreasing? Is that
I don't know. That's a great question. It would be very difficult to change big agricultural activity without policy changes, without continuing to see demand. At the end of the day, farmers are growing food to feed people or to feed markets, right? There's a demand for whatever they're doing, and that demand has been fulfilled. And we can pretty much say we kind of know how much food people are going to eat. The people who distribute blueberries, they're watching that pretty carefully, so they know that how much needs to be built. We aren't eating more corn, but how we feed our animals and how we fuel our cars is. And so we need to think about how we treat our animals. We need to think about what we put in our vehicles. as people continue to make sound decisions, not just for their pocketbooks, but for the planet and for their fellow citizens. We see the trends moving in a way that you would probably typically see those types of farming operations maybe begin to decrease. And we certainly hope that our way of farming continues to expand. There's been also wonderful movies like The Folks That Kiss the Ground and others that have built some incredible documentaries. Common Ground is another one that talk about this movement. And it really is a movement. It really is an opportunity for us to all say, okay, I'm going to make good decisions about what I put in my body. And that will make the market make good decisions about how they want to advance their farming practices and how we want to grow our food and distribute it to our people.
We vote with our dollars every day.
Yeah, civilization isn't going to make it one day without food.
No.
So that's a crisis situation. So there's a reason why we grow so much, why we have excess supply.
Got it. Well, I think that this is really exciting, and I appreciate you laying it all out for us. Thanks for coming on. Where can people learn more about you, and where can they learn about Farmland LP for people who want to invest? How does that work?
Yeah, so it's for accredited investors. So you have to be an accredited individual. So you can check what the guidelines are for your accredited. You can just look that up. If you work with a wealth advisor, an RIA, then talk to them about it. They can get in touch. And actually, the thresholds for investment are a little different if you work with a wealth advisor. The best place to go is farmlandlp.com. You can also email us anytime at ir@farmlandlp.com. And I encourage people to go to our YouTube channel at Farmland LP or our LinkedIn or your preferred social. We put a lot of great charts up there. We put a lot of great videos up there. And every 2 weeks, our farmers do a video about what's happening on the farm in the last 2 weeks. So we like to share with people, here's the corn we're growing, because we grow sweet corn. People like to eat it. People eat all our sweet corn, but we do all sorts of other great things. So we kind of show people how to farm in this way and give people kind of a behind the scenes look at what farming's actually like. And I think it's really eye opening. And if people are interested, we hope you reach out.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Ian your appreciation, share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas, go to farmlandlp.com, check out everything that they are working on, check out their YouTube channel, check them out on LinkedIn. And I love the idea or the reality that you have farmers giving updates on what's going on with the farm. I think that that's super cool inside baseball, well, inside farming. That I'd certainly be curious about. So I look forward to checking that out. And if you are an accredited investor and what Ian was talking about resonated, check out the investment opportunities. If you're working with a financial advisor, ask them if they can help you get involved with Farmland LP as well. Thanks again, Ian.
Thank you, George. A lot of fun. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Till next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.